Amen. Yeah. There was an outdoor movie that we did on Friday. It was incredible, and I think they're going to show you a slide. Gabe Martinez, our youth pastor, captured a great photograph, and I said, man, send that to me. It looked so great on his camera phone. It's stuck. Okay, we're going. We're going to get there. Why don't we go ahead and welcome our first-time guest? Amen. If you're here second time, third time, welcome them. Come on, give them a big welcome. It's a blessing. Yeah. We're Living Faith Church. We're faith that you can see as we gather. Amen. You're going to see living faith. Amen. As we grow. Amen. And as we go. Amen. You know, Courtney's right here on the second row, not to embarrass you, but she is going to lead a mission trip from our congregation to Nicaragua this season. So give her a big hand. But what's real important for you also is that you can go with her. So in the coming weeks, because things need to be done pretty quickly if you want to go with her, is there's going to be slides about it. She'll come up and give some thoughts about it, and we'll get that done. Is that cool with everybody? Yeah? You might want to go to the mission field on a short-term mission. So this was done Friday night, and it was pretty, I thought it was a great evening, and I never saw the ability to just project something. I might do that in my backyard, but that's pretty good, right? And so thank God for our youth pastors. They worked real hard. Our young people also were serving, and raising money. And so, again, they're just doing creative things. When you see things happening for them for their youth camp, go ahead and support them. Be a blessing to them. Christina will tell you more about a miracle that happened because just of simple giving, how God just supernaturally blessed her and blessed the ministry because of her act of obedience. And she'll tell you about that. I think she's with our children right now, but she'll come back, our children's ministry. I think my wife might be in the baby room, right? So I'm going to talk about her, but I talked about her first service, so I am brave. Give me a good amen. Even though she's not on the front row, and your babies are going to be just blessed, amen, if they're back there, because my wife is a blessing, so thank God for just her reaching out and helping people today. Thank God. Facebook audience is live, right? Everybody, welcome them, amen. Sometimes I don't see a light, but by faith, amen, we're broadcasting right now on Facebook Live. We're in our final The Love Affair series, and we're right now just going to end it very strong with single love today affair. And we're seeking advice about relationship intimacy, sex, dating, marriage. But sometimes I think we look in the wrong places. And thank God for the church that takes a series every year during our relationship series, and we address questions head on. We answer questions, because sometimes I think we ask the wrong question, beloved. God really has the answers for us, and you coming to the church this morning proves that you want an answer from God today. God's going to answer your questions, and that's important questions. But I think more so, God may not answer your question specifically, but check this out. He's going to answer your need. Because just like when my children were younger, they would want something, and it wasn't so much me answering, giving them. I gave them what they needed, not what the question was. Do you understand that? As every mom and dad will, because you want to provide a need. It's their need, not their question. Sometimes that thing won't, because we want to control people by our questions. So many times, if you think about that, it'll come to you. But God's saying, no, I want to meet your need today. I want to bless you. I want to give you more than you've ever imagined today. Right, everybody? And so give God control of your life. I want to take apart a passage and unpack it. You can show me the next slide real quick. Next Sunday, I kick off a new series that will lead us right into Easter Sunday, how to survive a bad day. If anybody ever had a bad day, it was Jesus on the cross. And he shows us in principle through Scripture, which we're not going to take anything from anybody, theory. We're going to go straight to the Bible again and look at the Bible about Jesus's bad day and how he lived it and how you can live through a bad day. And so it's going to be good. You want to make sure that you're here for the weeks that we do that before Easter. And so Song of Solomon, show me the first slide. We're going to go to Song of Solomon today. We're going to unpack that and look at it just very quickly. It was written about 965 BC, about 1,000 years before Christ was born. And it can make you blush if you look at it, because the Bible means what it means, and it gives the story. It's an allegory, a beautiful allegory. The Old Testament talked about God pursuing his people, the nation of Israel, how he loved them and how he wanted just to set them apart. You know, the New Testament came around and Christ gave us the image of Christ's love for his church, how he gave his life for it. again, an allegory. I want to look at it head on about relationships, a husband and wife, how they meet in chapter 1, how they begin to pursue each other in the courting process, how they pursue each other, how they have passion towards each other, and we want to do it God's way, relationship, right, everybody? And so if you're married today, say, you know, I'm going to cruise. No, don't cruise through this sermon. I want you to build these values into your home. I want you to look at these qualities that we're going to give you because we don't stop learning. Right, everybody? Yeah. Marriage is so important. It's the institution that God gave his very touch to. He ordained it because he wanted us to do it right, not to fail, that we can succeed, not that we would struggle or be overcome by it. We would constantly want it in the sense of victory, but God gave us a way of doing that. Parents, if you're here, these are principles that I'm going to give you outline that you can look at and you can take back, because it's awkward to talk to your kids about the birds and the bees sometimes. I've recognized that to my children when I had to have that talk. But I'm giving you an outline that you can use one day and you can file it away and you can say, I can use this because it's principle, it's God's word on how you should treat each other in relationship. So I'm giving you a great tool today. Is that okay with everybody? And it's free. Isn't that good? Yeah? God loves free. I like free. How about you today? And so we want to speak to the house of God first today, this morning. This honors God in relationship with the opposite sex. So before they go to school and get taught that subject, you can talk to them about this subject today. Right, everybody? They're going to get taught certain things, but you can teach them the Bible way, and that's important today. Singles that use online dating services today. I've met a couple of people, they've gotten married, they met somebody online, and it's a great marriage sometimes, most of the time. I don't have anything against it, but how many know on the internet, not everything is true? And so people, they kind of lie on the internet sometimes. And so they have all these social websites and dating and that sort of thing. And some of them, ChristianMingle.com, amen. There's a couple more I could probably think of if I remember the commercials and so forth. But sometimes what they say, I want to give you the decoding right now, okay, and have a little bit of fun with that. If they tell you this in their ad, you might want to be, they're going to really mean this. And so the first thought about those is they filter it through this. It's not always true. If she says she's 40-ish, that means she's like 49 and a half. So run, Forrest, run. Is that okay with everybody? If he says he's 40-ish, that means he's 52 and he's looking for a 25-year-old. Run, girl. You better run. Amen. If he says he's huggable, that means he's carrying a few extra pounds and he has more body hair than Bigfoot. Amen. He's like Sasquatch. If she says she's romantic online, that means she's better looking by candlelight. I don't want to be offended. If he says he's laid back and he's very close to his family, you know what that means. That means he's still living at home, he's unemployed, and he wants you to have a job. If she says she's bubbly and fun, that means she never shuts up. The last two. Independent woman. If she says she's independent, that means she has control issues. She will dominate you, and you will like it. Some of y'all ain't having any fun in church, but you're going to get there. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'm going to offend you through this sermon, so get ready. If it hasn't happened yet, if he says he's average looking, that means he fell from the ugly tree and he had a couple of branches on the way down. He's ugly, amen. There's four specific qualities that I'm going to give you in the Bible, and I want you to look for these. They're going to attract you. They should attract you. These qualities should. See them in the person that you're looking at. Or you're checking out, you're kicking the tire maybe. But you got to see these. And you want to become these people. I'm married. Well, you still want to develop these qualities, right, everybody? Do you have your message notes? Yes. You're going to need them. If you don't, raise your hand high. I kind of missed it today. But if you're taking notes on the internet today, go ahead and just remember them. I'll give the notes later to you at a later time. Number one is this. Do you have them? Yes. You don't need them? Yeah. If you need them. Godly character. Somebody say godly character. You want a godly character. You don't want a character, but you want God in the character, or he'll be a character that you marry, and you, or her, she'll be a character. In Song of Solomon 1 and 2, they begin to dialogue. Notice the very first chapter. It's her speaking. The ladies go first. So she begins to talk. And she said, let him kiss me with his kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Irma's memorized that scripture, and she quotes that to me. She's translated in the Hebrew, and she knows. So pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. I don't know about what he was wearing. Maybe bought something at the flea market. Maybe made him smell. Your name is like a perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. And so notice the first thing that she likes about him. It isn't his car. It's not his job. It's not about how tall he is, how handsome he is. It's about his character. Perfumed oil at that moment in history was something that was very valuable. And a bath was very rare of what they could do. And so not too many baths at that time. So it was a rarity. And so she's saying, you're rare among all men. You're different. You're valuable. And so you have godly character. There's a difference between repetition and then your repetition and character. Repetition is what they think about you. Yeah, they think that about him and they think that about her. Well, character is really what you are when nobody's looking. And what you are, just what you really are. Despite of what when you preach or how you act in the church house and how you wear your best suit. Amen. It doesn't matter about that today. And she says, no wonder women love you. She didn't say you're a hottie with a good body. She said, no, it's you have a good name. Right, everybody? And that's real important. If you want a godly marriage, you got to live godly now. If you want a godly marriage that you're living in, begin to be God-oriented and God-characterized in your marriage today, now and even for your future today. You know, say, well, I just attract the wrong people. I attract wrong fish. Well, you're using the wrong kind of bait, probably, if you're attracting the wrong kind of fish. You want to attract the right kind of fish. If you're going to bars, if you're doing the moves that they're doing on all these dance shows in the bars and so forth, you're probably going to attract the wrong kind of fish. Do you recognize that today? And so likes attract like. So that's why you're attracting that, because you're like that. Do you understand that today? And so pursue God. Pursue Him so hard that you look over one day and you say, hey, she's good looking. She's running hard after God like I'm running after God. They're serving, I'm serving. They're praying, I'm praying. Do you get the picture today? Amen. Single young adults and young people have gotten advice all over the map, especially in church. They've given this advice over and over sometimes. This is the advice about finding your two, not your one, because God's your one. So you find your perfect two. You find them in church. And we're the worst at it at church of condemning people. And this is the way you better do it. And some of the times, single have been approached this way. I preach sermons about Boaz. Boaz was a man of God. And this lady named Ruth was this Moabite. Not even a... Man, it's cold in here, right? So I'm glad you're freezing. You're going to stay awake, right? You guys crank that thing. We're going to put a lock on that thing. Amen. I'm going to have the key only. Anyway, so Boaz... Sorry, internet people, about our cold weather in here. You'll start to see me shake. So anyway, the Moabite Ruth has all these problems. You think about that. Well, I see people shaking, so I'm sorry, okay? the Moabite woman, Ruth, that she is, she just, you know, she has all these problems. Say, man, no one's ever going to be attracted to me. Boaz comes along, very wealthy man, the Bible says. Listen to me, right? And she begins to get attracted, so she waits patiently for her Boaz. And so the sermon would be, hey, wait for your Boaz, right, everybody? You got to wait for him. Wait for him. And so I found something that's a great word. And I found it in 2 Nava about waiting for your Boaz. 2 Nava 3:14. And this is the In Your Face translation, right, everybody? And so on the big screen, it says this: while you're waiting for your Boaz, don't settle for any of his relatives, because sometimes counterfeits will come along, right, everybody? So don't wait for his relative broke ass, right? You don't want to wait for broke ass, lying ass. You don't want to wait for cheating ass. The second verse service took it a lot better than you did. You don't want to wait for dumb ass. You don't want to wait for drunk ass. You don't want to wait for cheap ass. You might end up with lock ass. Yeah. Good for nothing ass. You don't want to marry lazy ass, right, everybody? Especially his third cousin beat your ass. Yeah. Wait for Boaz, and everybody say it. Make sure he respects Boaz. And only the brave people said it, amen. And you know you talk much worse at your home, amen. I've seen you watch the Spurs game and shout at that TV. You ain't holy in this place, amen. Yeah. Next slide, please. They're staring at that word too much, amen. If you found that offensive, amen, send an email. I don't give a flip.com at living. Yeah. Don't settle. Don't settle. It'll cause you to sin. And that's why Ruth never settled. She waited for her Boaz. Amen. Amen. Marriage isn't really about so much finding the right person. It's about becoming the right person. Amen. You attract, I want to be like that. Andy Stanley says something so wonderful. Becoming the person that you're looking for is what you're looking for. I'm looking for that sort of person. I want a righteous man. I want a woman of God, so I need to become a man of God. I want somebody that's a giver. I want to be, so you become a giver. Do you understand that? It all begins with Matthew 6, 33. It says this in the Word of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're putting God first. And is he a follower of Jesus? You're kicking the tires. Is she a follower of Jesus? Right there is a candidate. If he's not following Jesus, she's not following Jesus, then it disqualifies them pretty quick, doesn't it? Amen. Yeah, we're going to go start with godly character. The second thought is this, growing in trust. The woman continues to speak, and she's going to talk more. And thank God, we're going to listen, right? The man of God, give me a good amen. Amen. She's going to talk a whole bunch. In Song of Solomon, verse 5 says this. Why don't we go ahead and read it together on three? Are you there with me? 1, 2, 3. Dark am I, yet lovely. Daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar. Do not stare at me because I am dark. My mother's sons were very angry with me. Let me unpack this real quick. You know, what's wrong? She had a tan. You know, sun tanning is good, you know. But back then, it was something that was kind of just looked upon as, well, you're third class. You're down there below because you work outside so much. That must mean you're not royalty. You're not a princess. And so you are sun. And she begins to really get trust issues with that. She begins to say, you know, I'm going to get vulnerable now. And in the courtship process, the dating process, maybe after the third date or fourth date or the month long or whatever it might happen, you start saying, you know, you let your guard down. This is what I went through emotionally. This is how I feel. And how will you treat me? And so she's doing that now. She's being pursued by him, but she's saying, are you going to still like me after I tell you about my faults? Yeah. And so she shares vulnerability. She says, my skin's darker. She says, yeah, they even treated me like Cinderella. I was the first one. Disney didn't come along with this story. I was working outside. Do you all see that in the scripture? And they weren't. They put me outside. And so all this came. And he said, you know, everybody else took care of their body. And I labored. And I don't look as good as the other maidens. And are you still going to love me this way? And she says, don't stare at me. I'm sunburned. And so slowly, again, she reveals some insecurities. And both of us do that. Husbands that are going to be, wives that are going to be, boyfriend, girlfriend. And watch the way he loves her. He begins to love her and builds a trust. And so there are physical insecurities that are in with every one of us in this room today. If you look hard enough at somebody, they're going to have something wrong with them. You look on the outside, you say, well, hey, okay, take off your shoe. Let me look at your toes. Something's up with your toes, amen. You can smile at me, amen. There's just something wrong. And, you know, on my deal, to become real transparent to you, on the, you know, as a pastor to you, they've told me that I'm short. And I don't get it because I don't feel that way. Maybe I have too much self-esteem or pride or something, but I never got that I was short. So they were dogging me, you know, hey, you're short, because I was short for a long time, I guess, and you know, just never grew. And so when I began to kind of date Irma after about the third month, we were 26, and we'd finally, you know, hey, this is it, man. I'm pursuing her. She's pursuing me. Something's about to go down, maybe. Amen. I was hoping, but I said, you know, I began to trust her. She began to trust me, and there was some guards laying down. So I told her, I said, hey, I was talking to her on the phone, and I was telling her, hey, what did you want on your list that you asked for the man of God? She was a Christian. She said, well, I asked that he would be a man of prayer. Check, man, I was a man of prayer. I loved Jesus, and I prayed. He said, I prayed that he would be a man of God's word. Man, I had gone to Bible college. I was preaching even back then. And man, check, I was feeling good about myself. And I said, hey, what else? He said, well, I prayed that he was a churchgoer. And check, check. You know, man, we met in church. So things are looking good. And I finally got to that last one that was the instant. And I said, you know, did you pray how tall he was going to be? And she said, no, but I should have. Amen. The rest is history. Amen. You know, she was concerned our kids were going to be short. But they drank milk. Give me a good amen. Andrew, he's mine. Amen. He's a Nava. Give me a good amen. He may be tall, but you can tell he's a Nava. Give me a good amen. Yeah. And so we both opened up with our insecurities. And you'll do that too when you find your two. And you need to. You need to be trusting each other, and we grew in our trust. The third principle, godly character, you grow in your trust. Third one is, somebody shout, higher standard.
Higher standard.
Yeah. In song, she's still talking. Amen. Here she goes. She's about to unload more. Amen. And it just shows, men of God, she's going to talk a whole bunch more than you will. And that's okay. We have a listening ear, right, everybody? We're doing it God's way. Relationships. It's a key. It's a great key of wisdom to let her talk. Give me a good amen. Amen. And the best words that you'll ever hear, and then what happened, right, everybody? Just let her keep going. Amen. And she says, tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flocks. He must have been a shepherd. Where your sheep rest at midday. Why should I be like the veiled woman beside the flocks of your... In other words, the veiled woman of that time would come along these shepherds. And they'd been out port call, man. They'd been out to sea for many weeks and years or whatever. And the ship never came in. And so they never had liberty. And so these women would come, the veiled women, which were prostitutes, and they'd walk by the sheep. All these men, the shepherds, man, those sheep sure do look good. No, they look good, right? Finally, y'all ain't getting it like I'm getting it. Amen. And she says, I'm not going to lower my standard like that. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm going to be different. Do you understand that? She had a standard, and it was high, and she wanted him to know that high standard. Do y'all get the picture there? She wasn't going to lower herself like the rest. See, culture so much, it's just different now. It's a different side now. Culture says now it's okay to sleep together before you get married. And the Bible says that the gift of lovemaking was reserved for the marriage bed. Boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church. How about you on Facebook? You're probably amening me, right? Somebody needs to this day, amen. It's perfectly normal to have sex before marriage, but God has a different standard. Did you know that today? He does. Read God's word. Well, you're old-fashioned. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm using God's word today. And it's always current. It always addresses current situations with the right solution today. So if you want something different and you want something better, you're going to have to live differently than everybody else in the culture of this land, right? Yeah, you're going to have to. You have two options if you're dating. You can sin together, or you can honor God together. And I pray that you would do the second one together, right, everybody? You're building a foundation for your future. You're building something that your house recognizes today. You're building something for your future because the wedding night is coming. It's going to be a blessing. I'll talk about that in a moment today. You married people that are in this room. Well, I'm married, and there's still stuff that you're doing behind the scenes. Your character showing evident. You have a reputation of this in the church, but something's going on behind this. You know that your house is still, it gets infected? It really does. Because of what you're doing in the dark or what you're doing when nobody's looking, it's still taking place. Something's going to happen in your home. It's going to be revealed. A monster's being birthed today. Now you can choose to say, I'm going to walk with God. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Okay, but I'm teaching you God's word. Something happens in a home where stuff is being covered and hidden and there's secrets going on, especially within the heart. Especially if you're a child of God today. I'm ruined. No, you're not. God's saving you. Amen. God's giving you His grace right now. I wasn't perfect before I got married. I was about 25 when I met Irma and first spotted her. I knew eventually, you know, she was going to be my wife. But the courtship process was pretty quick after that. We got married when we were 27. She wasn't perfect either. She had had relationships. I had relationships also. But we wanted to do things differently because we had gone through pain and hurt. We'd broken up. We'd gone through the divorce thing of how we break up. Well, that's just a mini divorce without going to court. But we just felt that pain. And we didn't want to keep living that way. So when we got to date, and she was promised to me, and I was promised to her, and we waited. And it was tough because we loved each other. We really did love each other a lot, but we chose to wait. And because we waited, here's what happened. The wedding night, the honeymoon was extra special. Give me a good amen. It was quick, but it was special. Give me a good amen. I can't believe I said that, but I'll continue. If you don't choose to wait, and your children that you're raising don't choose to wait, their honeymoon will still be special. It'll still feel good. But you know what it's going to be? Being just another day at the office. Just another night. I remember my wedding day with the reception and all that. We went through the whole thing. We had to. I got married. Amen. It would have been me. Amen. Let's elope. Amen. But, you know, I had to do the whole thing, right? Spend the money. And y'all ain't smiling at me. Amen. I'm glad she's not here, though. Amen. Can we get it? So, man, during the thing, you know, we're shaking everybody's hand and trying to run through where they throw rice at you and all that and get to the car. I just wanted to get out of there because this precious couple gave us this room at the Marriott Riverwalk when it was brand new. We were like the first ones to use it, man. So we had that room waiting for us. And I remember something. I had to go by my parents' house because I had to go get something. Maybe it was the gift or something like that. I had to get something. And, well, she was with me, and I think she wanted to change, too, because she didn't want to be walking in the white gown to the Marriott where everybody see her. That was her. So I don't blame her. Give me a good amen. Just being real trend. And so when I went and got my stuff, my parents were already home from the reception, and so my dad walks me out. Irma's in the car waiting for me. My dad puts his arm around my shoulder, and, you know, I'm 26, 27. And he goes, "Hey, son, do you know what to do?" Tell my dad, "Yeah, Dad, you know, you should have told me this back when I was 16, man." That was my dad. I was in a hurry to get out of there. I'm not going to condemn anyone today. There are many couples that are, because I used to as a pastor, I used to as a preacher, I probably got off on this stuff and just saying, "Yeah, you're wrong." And, you know, we've all had, no one's perfect except Jesus. But I will tell you this, there's been couples that I've known that they've gotten married and they realized it was, you know, after they got married, they received Christ, they had children, and they realized that they did things wrong. And you know what they've done? They've gone back to each other and they said, "You know, our past sins were forgiven. We want to go forward now in the things of God. We want to recognize that we can build a better foundation for our children, that they can live by our strength. They can do things today." And so from this day forward, we go forward in the things of God, right? Everybody, we're going to honor lives. For the single young adults in this room and the young people in this room, I'm not going to shame you because that's what the church has done today. You have a fire within you. You have passion within you. You're supposed to be married, many of you. You're not given the gift of celibacy. And if you are given that gift, you're like the Apostle Paul. You're going to write half of the New Testament, more than half of the New Testament. You're going to be successful if you're given that gift. But most of us aren't given that gift. And so the church is going to teach you. I'm not going to shame you today. I am going to say, now live principled by God's word. Begin to live with God's purpose in your life. Live with a holy passion, saying, I'm going to live with God. And when you find that too, she's running towards God and you're running towards God and you notice her, how cute she is. You notice how handsome he is. And you're saying, "Man, look at that." And the holy hookup is right there. And maybe the courtship isn't that long, amen? I pray that it might not be. Once you know it, you know it, amen? Go for it. Give me a good amen. Get married. Get in covenant. Get faithful. Get planted. Right, everybody? So godly character, growing in trust, have a higher standard. And finally, and four is this, relentless. Somebody shout, relentless encouragement. In Song of Solomon, what you'll notice about him and her, they encourage each other. She just mentioned her skin color. And he begins to speak. He finally gets a word in. He finally gets one sentence in, guy. Right, everybody? And then what happens? So Song 1:9 says this, "I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses." Tommy Nelson taught me this 20 years ago through a great Bible study. And in other words, he was calling her Secretariat. He was calling her Seattle Slough. He was calling her a racehorse. That needs some explaining, right, everybody? See, Pharaoh's chariot horses, they were like these angelic beings. They were, you know, he was considered a god. That's the way he was considered. And so what he's basically calling her, he says, honey, I don't care about your dark skin. Your dark skin makes you even look more beautiful. Your dark skin is you're like an angel, baby. That I grabbed her big toe and pulled her down to earth. That's how beautiful that you are to me. You see how he encourages her? Y'all might try that line. Just say, hey, you look like Secretariat. You're so beautiful. See if that line works on you. Amen. You're prized. Amen. You're beyond valuable, but you're gorgeous to me. I love the men of faith. When I've had conversation with them, they tell me about their wives and this. And man, she's beautiful. She's it, man. We've had meetings at the Men of Faith, and we've talked about wives, and we've done it in such a way that we build our wives up and we bless them today. And it adds strength to the meeting. It adds strength to us as men. It adds strength to your marriage today. We get closer to God, and we get closer to security because we have God. Amen. She begins to speak now. Why don't you look at that with me? Song right there, 115. Are you there with me? Read it together on the big screen or in your handout on three. One, two, three, go. How beautiful you are, oh my darling. Your eyes are like doves. Do you notice again the first characteristic? She's not noticing the physical, that he's cut. He has arms. She's not noticing his beard. She's noticing his character. She trusts. Finally, after how many verses, because he encouraged her, she finally notices his physical appearance and the values are expressed. And I want to teach you something here, and if you'll get this, even an average Joe like me, an average guy like me, because this works, you'll become better looking if you, it's my secret. It's how I married somebody like her. You say, how did he get her? Because some of y'all have asked her that. How did you marry him? Amen. This is how I encouraged her. And you know what happened? Because I encouraged her, she told me how tall I was. And I grew. Give me a good amen. I got physically taller. And God's not a respecter of you. He'll make you better looking with your nose that way. Right, everybody? Yeah, poor guy. Amen. It's okay. Your nose will look good. Amen. Because you're going to encourage her. I'm not talking about you. Somebody else. Amen. They came to the first service, right? When you encourage each other, you get better looking. Give me a good amen in each other's eyes. And thank God for it today. I need to press ahead. There's the very first love story. Switch gears just a little bit. But I want to look at this story with you. And it's found in Genesis 2. And God forms a man out of the dust of the ground, out of the clay, and he makes him, and he breathes, and he forms him life. And look at this story in Genesis 2. Everything was beautiful that God created. And so on the big screen, I'll read it, hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord took man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord commanded man, you are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden. Verse 17, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. This is the first Eden covenant. It was the first covenant that he ever made. God made man, had to keep his end of the bargain up. God had to keep his end of the bargain. He gave him a covenant to keep, and both sides were going to walk together. It wasn't a contract. It was a covenant. And he says if he didn't keep it, he was going to die. It wasn't going to mean he was going to drop dead suddenly. But it did mean death was going to take place. Verse 21, and so God caused a deep sleep. First surgery ever happens is it on Grey's Anatomy. First surgery that ever happens is God operated on a man. Deep sleep. And when he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and he closed that place. Somebody say, closed up the place with flesh. Yeah, it's going to become real important in a moment. We're going to come back to that. Verse 22, and the Lord God made woman from one of the ribs that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And when the woman saw, he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he called her, whoa, man. And she was taken out of the man. Verse 24, and now that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they become, somebody say, one flesh. I'd like you to read verse 25 with me at the very end, and it's on the thing, on the handout, or just repeat it. Adam and his wife were both naked. Yeah. Yeah. Thank God for sex. Thank you, Jesus, for sex. Only the brave ones are saying amen. Thank you, Jesus, for sex. When it's done in the beauty of marital covenant, it's a beautiful thing that God created for it. Thank God He gave us that gift, right, everybody? Yes. Boundaries are blessings, and God gave Adam the boundary of that. God is not this billion-dollar gift card that you can just use wherever you want it. God does, He's going to spoil my fun. God's not about spoiling your fun today. God's about placing boundaries to protect you. What parent would want a child to approach an open circuit full of electricity coming out of it, and you wouldn't stop that child? You would stop him. You would stop her because you're protect. He's a good, good father. Amen. Right? Amen. And he's going to stop. So God's even better than a good, God's the best. He puts boundaries in our lives to protect us, to give us the very best. And if we don't want to follow those boundaries, we're going to settle for something that we don't want, or we're going to get hurt over and over because we're not contained. He said, every tree, Adam, you can eat from that peach tree, the pecan tree, that fig tree. Eat, but don't eat from that one. Because obedience is not to be a killjoy. Obedience is to give you a free will to obey God. I want to obey God because I can. Amen? I want to do the right thing in my life today. Amen? And so in Genesis 2:17, again, let's look at that in the Word of God, repeat it, correct that. It's 2:17 on my end. It says this, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you eat from it, you will certainly die. Man of God in this room, single man of God in this room, married man of God, you're called to be the pastor of your home. You may go to Living Faith. We may be the pastor here, but you're ultimately the pastor of your home. Did you know that? You set the spiritual tone of your home. She may know a lot of the Word. She may know how to pray because she's been saved ever since she was in the womb and that sort of thing. But you've come on the scene. You're the man of God. You begin to pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. Can you say Jesus? You can say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help us. Help our marriage. You can pray. Amen. You set the spiritual tone in your home. You advance the cause of Christ in your home today. You set it. Amen. The atmosphere is set because of you. Take the lead in prayer today. Give me a good amen. Amen. Again, she may have great gifts that are spiritual, but you're still the leader of your home spiritually. Get that. I see another thing that you are as a man of God. I'm going to just help you with this. You're the provider. You're the provider of your home. You set the tone about, we're going to tithe. We're going to be a giving people. Our name is going to be known that we're giving. We're outrageous, generous givers, and that we're extravagant givers. We give tithe. We're going to live a little bit below our means so we can be givers. Give me a good amen. But the man of God sets that. Now, she may make more money in our culture. There's a lot of women now making more money. Nothing wrong with that. But you're still setting the atmosphere about provision in your home, how you're the provider. Give me a good amen. You're the protector. That means you're the Secret Service. You take the bullet. You dive in front of the president. She's that. You're going to take the bullet for it. Hopefully she can't beat you up. Amen. You're her protector. If she does lift some weights, amen. You emotionally protect her heart. Oh, how beautiful some of the marriages are at Living Faith Church. I've seen the way you protect her too. I've seen the way you've shielded her, how you blessed her, because I know you well enough in covenant. How you take care of her. Amen. Continue to do that. You're a man of God. Amen. I encourage you today. After God sets this boundary, you know what happens? He blesses Adam. He makes a woman for him. I'm so glad that, you know, Adam in that dialogue there where we saw he's naming all the animals and he doesn't find a suitable helpmate. I'm so glad it wasn't the monkey. Give me a good amen. It says when God saw the need, if you look at that passage again, he said, man, I'm going to make somebody just, I'm going to make, it wasn't somebody that was supposed to be in back of him, in front of him. It was right by his side. That helpmate, it's a warfare term. Somebody once thought, well, she's beneath you and she's, no. In other words, if you're sick, she rises up. If you're weak, she's strong. Give me a good amen. If you're weak, wife, amen, he's strong. He builds you up. It's a twofold blessing there. Amen. The helpmate means she's right there. She's the warrior with you today. It's not meant she's battling with you today, right? And it's incredible that we look at that more carefully in God's Word and our eyes are open. And so if you don't have boundaries in your life, you're going to settle for something that's not even the counterfeit that's wrong. There's my husband. I found my husband. What, because he has two legs and a mouth? Was he on your prayer list? Was that all the qualities that you wanted? Wait for God. Amen. You're going to wait for the wrong Boaz. You want the right Boaz, right, everybody? Yeah, and so don't fall for anything, amen, that has two legs, right, everybody? Yeah, single Christians and everybody, God has established boundaries to protect you and to bless you, amen. Let God's Word instruct you. Finally, close my flesh. You can write that in because you've been wanting that for a while, right, everybody? Close my flesh. Are you there with me? In Genesis 2:21, look at that scripture with me on the screen. Let's read it together. It's our last verse together. Let's read it out loud, not out soft. 1, 2, 3, go. So the Lord God caused man. And while he was sleeping, and then he closed up the place. Yeah, God closed the place of Adam's flesh. And you must close your flesh too. It's a spiritual picture for you. I'm talking to the serious warrior in this room. The warrior princess and the warrior prince, the man of God, the woman of God in this room. Ask God to close your flesh. There are things that you just got to say no to. Even as a married man, even as a married woman today, amen. Close my flesh, men of faith in this room today. The Bible speaks of he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That word findeth in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word for discern. It's a word that when God went looking for a man, he found a man on the watchtower to serve. It's a spiritual term. When you discern, it's not I'm looking at him with these earth eyes. I'm looking at him, well, look at her, or look at him. It's a discerning that you have because you got God's eyes, your flesh is closed, the gate is closed now, and you're more spiritual than you are flesh man. And you're looking, you're saying, you know what? She's a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. She reads the Word of God. I read the Word of God. And there's the qualities that you want. She's a giver. I'm a giver. And you're looking. This is what the sort of discernment that you want to have. There's accountability that you have. The Bible says that charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. All that stuff. See, you don't have the budget that the bachelor does to take out all these girls on dates. That bachelor has the network funds. He has ABC behind him that can take him out. He can take out anybody he wants. See, you don't have the Kardashians' workout video or their private trainers. You're going to have to come home after the 8-to-5 job, some of you in this room, and then work out after you cook dinner. You just don't have it. Do you understand that today? So if you're looking with earth eyes, guys, for a Kardashian or men of God, if you're looking at her, because I'm the bachelor, you don't have it. Do you understand that? That's why you need God in your life, so you can have the discernment in your eyes, so you can see them as God sees them. Right, everybody? I'll take the hand clap for the Lord. Right, everybody? Yeah. And so, well, let's do things in secret. No, that's not God. God uncovers everything. Amen. If you don't want to walk around with me at La Cantera and holding my hand, then I can't be with you. Because I'm not going to be your secret girlfriend today or your secret boyfriend today, right, everybody? And so, has he passed through the gate of coming to church with you? Has he passed through the gate of meeting your dad or your mom? There's accountability there with God and man, right, everybody? Has he passed through the gate? Well, you need to meet my pastor. Give me a good amen. Has she passed through that gate? And I know right now you're thinking, man, have I messed up? And I'm so glad God's a restorer. Amen. See, I messed up before I found my two. And so did she. She messed up. And we brought all that baggage and we said, we're going to finally do it right. God save us and God help us. And God's not a respecter of persons. He'll bless you. He'll help you. You just got to arrive at the end of yourself and say, man, I've tried to do this on my own. There's a stronghold maybe in your life. It's broken by prayer and fasting. You've had too much pleasure in your flesh, and God wants to say, no, look at me, so your eye gate is right and not your eye flesh is built up, and you look so much towards the flesh that you can't see anything spiritual anymore, right, everybody? We need God in our lives. Invade us, Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. There's no shame. There's God. I want you to light a new fire, not the fire of the world. Amen. Because if you take that, it will burn you, the Bible says. But if you take the fire of God, it will let you burn on today. Take the fire of God in your life today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to build on honoring you. And together, Lord, we want to build on honoring our lives towards you, not sinning together. Have courage right now that God will bless you if you put him first in your life today. My Father in heaven, I pray that the Holy Spirit will do a healing work. For those that want to be married one day, I pray that you would want to plant seeds right now of righteousness, and that they would flourish until the day of completion. For those that are married today, I pray that you would do a work to strengthen our marriage, that we would honor you, Lord, all through this room today. Give us godly character, single, married, Lord. Whether you're married right now, godliness, single, godly character matters today. It matters more than anything else. So, Father, make my character godly today so I can live godly. As I continue just to pray with you today, are you the right person today? Do you have godly character? You'll never do it on your own today. It's such as this. You won't be the right person by yourself. You need God. As a believer in Jesus, someone that's been saved maybe for many years today, we need godly character in our lives. And there's more of you at this moment, especially you've heard the words at the very end that God was speaking to you, and you know that you want God more in your character. You need it today. You want to accelerate that today. You want to get more of God, less of you, less of Hollywood, less of television, less of entertainment, less of the world's pleasures, and you need to fill up with God today. If that's you, would you lift your hand as a believer in Jesus? Say, I just want God to do a divine work in my life at this very moment. I need prayer. If that's you, lift it towards God. I pray that everyone would lift a hand right now that's a believer in Jesus today. Let's pray. You can put them down. Father, there's a church of people today that want to know you intimately. I pray that the Holy Spirit would point out those things, God, right now. We would confess our sins. We would ask for your forgiveness. I pray that the Holy Spirit would conform our lives to the image of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus, be perfect in us today. We're not, but you are. Thank you, Lord. Do a divine work. Change us, O God, to be more like the Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. This final thought, as your heads are bowed or as your eyes are closed, you might say, I grew up in church. And I need to draw nearer to God right now. I'm far away from Him. I grew up in church, but I've done things that are sinful to my God today. I've never recognized you're asking right now that I need to say yes to Jesus, that He can be my Savior. I'm not perfect. You're saying that. You'll never be perfect. There is one that is, and His name is Jesus. And the perfect Son of God died for your shame, died for all the sins that you committed. You'll never be good enough, but Jesus was. He's good enough. Let Him exchange your shame for His righteousness today, and He'll change you today. I promise you, it begins with a prayer. I won't embarrass you. At Living Faith, I don't do that. What I ask you to do at this very moment right now is to lift a hand towards heaven. I'll acknowledge it, and I'll note it, then I'll pray. You do it before a holy God. We'll lead you in a prayer simply right now. If that's you, you lift your hand. Yes, Miha, I see your hand. You can put it down. Yes, I see your hand also, beloved. I saw it. Somebody else, just making sure. Yes, yes, yes. Hands going up. Amen. They're honest before God. If you're looking around right now and not lifting your hand, I have to think that you're nosy, just very plainly. You need to pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. I saw a couple of hands where all heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now, just making sure. It's a covenant between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, about five hands lifted. You're going to pray this prayer with me right now out loud in your ear, loud enough that you can hear it, those that lifted your hand. The sinners that are saved by grace Irma and I weren't perfect, and we prayed a prayer, and God came to us, and He'll rescue you. All the sinners that are saved by grace, we pray this. The five that lifted their hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, save me of my sins. Give me a new beginning. The blood of Jesus, the perfect Jesus, the sinless Jesus that shed His blood for me, washes away all my sins. Cleanse me, Lord. Change me. I repent. I choose this day that You're my Savior. But above that, You're my Lord. Lord Jesus, I am a follower of Jesus. I follow You. I follow Your direction, Your instruction. Thank You for my future, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Living faith for the six or seven people or the five. Amen. Come on, bless them, encourage them. New life, new life, new life at Living Faith. Thank You, Lord. You saved people today. You blessed us today. For the five, amen, would you take out that connection card that's in front of you? Fill that out. You can do that. It's in front of you. Reach for it. Fill that out. Pray for me. You'll say, I'll take those. I receive those, and I pray for you. Let me know about your decision today. If you need prayer, I'll take those also. You'll receive them today. Amen, and we'll pray for you today. Tithe and offering today. Christina Martinez, our youth pastor, is going to receive it. Amen. Would you welcome her? Chuck, if you're going to lead us out today with song, amen. You're laughing. You're having a good time. Amen. God bless Christina. God bless Chuck as he comes. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, so I'm not going to trip. So before we do tithes and offering, I just want to thank everybody who came out Friday night. We had an awesome movie night. It was really fun. It was